So we are just trying to get Shulam Lema online to speak to him about his music, his musical journey. And as soon as that happens, we will take that interview. In the interim, let me tell you what is trending in South Africa today on... I don't have time to do that because I believe my next guest is online now. Just a reminder, the song that I played for you probably about 15, 20 minutes ago, that was October Rain. That was sung by Shulam Lema. It's not often that I've had the kind of response to a song like I've had from you to Shulam's music. There's something unique about his voice, something so moving, and I'm not sure what it is. Austin wrote in a little earlier this afternoon and said, maybe that is the X factor. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But what I do know is that on the line is Shulam Lema, international singing sensation and Decca Gold recording artist. Shulam, what an absolute privilege to have you on Chai FM this afternoon.
Hi, how are you? It is an honor and pleasure. Thank you for having me on your radio program. I really appreciate it.
You don't understand the reaction that I've had to your music, Shulam. I played it last week. And the messages, I don't think I've ever had a singer on air who's had the kind of response that you have. There's something in your voice that touches people's souls, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the chazonic little niguni twang that you have. How do you explain it?
Well, it's first of all, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know exactly what it is. I just try to sing from the soul, sing from the heart, and whatever comes out is the, you know, it's I can't take credit for the voice I have. It's something that Hashem gave me, and I try to use it in the best possible way.
Before I jump into the details about your music and your songs and how you relate to the music, etc., it's kind of struck me when I realized I was going to be speaking to you today. I'm not a youngster by any means, and I've never spoken to a Hasidic Jew ever in my life before. Belts Hasidism, give me an understanding. What is that?
So first, the Hasidim in general is followers of the Baal Shem Tov. A couple of 300 years ago, it was a movement starting by the Baal Shem Tov that showed the beauty of Judaism, not just following it as rules, but also following it as a love of Hashem and looking at the good of everything. And then he had different disciples in different towns. He went around all over Europe and teaching. And then eventually people from different towns became their followers. And then one of them ended up having the students of Belz. So this Chabad, all the different Hasidic sects. They all came from the Baal Shem Tov. So in Belz Hasidus is the Rebbe lives in Yerushalayim, and we have different schools all over the world. And if you've ever been to Yerushalayim, some people see in the skyline of Yerushalayim, there's a beautiful, beautiful shul, and that is the main shul in Yerushalayim.
I know the shul, but it's just so odd. It's weird how it happened geographically, that clearly nobody from that community arrived to the shores of Southern Africa. It just didn't happen. Interesting that.
Yeah, interesting. I'm not sure.
Anyway, let's get back to your musical your musical journey, because I mean, I suppose at the it should never have happened, should it?
We don't know what should happen or not happen, but we try to do what's best. And you mean as far as the music? I mean, I didn't ever plan to be a soloist and a professional singer, but I started singing in the choir and people liked it and people enjoyed it. And this is, one thing that led to the next, and the people speak.
How did your community react to your success? Were they accepting of it, or was it something that, to a certain extent, threatened the cohesiveness of the community?
No, sure, of course. First of all, I started singing mostly within the Hasidic Jewish music aspect, and that's obviously not something new, and I've done that. So, but even though when I started singing a lot of more of the English songs, I think people look at it as it's a Kiddush Hashem, the opposite. Show people that you can be who you are and stay true to who you are, true to yourself and to your values without compromising anything, and you know, continue spreading light and showing people that you can be a singer, you can be out there in the world and still keeping to your true values.
That's absolutely the lesson to learn from you. You haven't compromised in any way. You dress like a Belz Hasidic person, you look like a Belz Hasidic person, and yet you cross over and appeal to such a wide audience. Did that adoration from the wider community take you by surprise?
I'm sorry, what was the question? It was breaking.
I'm saying, were you surprised by your own success? It looks like we've lost Shulam. We'll try get him back on the line. Technology is so incredible until it isn't. Let me go to the SMS line in the interim. So Zolabud's not advising on the new running shoes. That's a message from Gail. I don't know what she's advising on, but yeah, the barefoot runner. She certainly wasn't wearing any shoes. Karen says, waiting for Shulam. Yay, beautiful, touches your soul, tears. Got all the feels, ASI. That's from Karen. You're the best. And Renee, I love Shulam. He has a beautiful neshama. That's from Renee. She also says, Shulam sings from the soul, and he is so humble. Yeah, I mean, that is without doubt the kind of reaction that we've had to his music all week. Shulam, are you back with me?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly. I was just saying technology is such a wonderful thing until it isn't. And then you realize how dependent you are on it. Shulam, I was asking you, were you surprised by your own levels of success that you reached externally to the Jewish community?
Yes, of course. I mean, just like you mentioned at the beginning, that the technology could be amazing. And when I put out I think the first song was Avinu Malkeinu from Max Janowski, made famous by Barbra Streisand. And I put it out, I love the song, and I just put out a version of on YouTube. And the comments and the feedback was so amazing and so positive from different parts of the world and different types of people from different backgrounds. And I was surprised to see the reach that the music had. And I continued releasing more music, and this trend continued where it wasn't just for my community. It was a lot bigger and broader. And that's when I realized music it's a universal language, and it's something that all of our souls speak that language, no matter where you come from, no matter, you know, where you are.
Or your beliefs. Yeah.
Music has that power.
Absolutely. So according to what I've researched, you've spoken about your brother, Yanki, and your late sister, Tzipi, as being early influences on your music. Can you share how their encouragement shaped your path?
Sure. So my brother, Yanki, is a well-known cantor, a chazan in Lincoln Square Synagogue in Manhattan. So he always, you know, learned and studied Chazanut, and while I was growing up, like a couple years younger than him. Mm-hmm. My father, Alav Hashalom, which passed away just about a year ago, also loved Chazanut a lot, always listened to it. My sister that I mentioned, my late sister that passed away 22 years ago, I was a 13-year-old, but I was very close with her, and she loved music, and she always wanted me to. I was a shy kid. I never wanted to sing anywhere,
really?
Or be in public.
Yeah.
But she pushed me to sing at my brother's wedding and my cousin's wedding. At that moment, when I was a little shy kid, when I was on stage, I already knew that that's where my comfort zone is.
Ah, that's absolutely incredible. So your first real public appearance was at your brother's wedding.
Yes, cousins or brother. I'm not sure which
Amazing.
One was first, but either
Amazing.
Cousins or brother's wedding, yeah.
Amazing. And the other thing that I read when I researched you is that apparently, and this just blew me away, is that you're self-taught and that you learned from YouTube from artists like Mordechai Ben David and Avram Fried. Is that true?
Yeah, somewhat. It really is true. I never really had any formal training or lessons in any music. We had some musical instruments. I read some books as a teenager, tried to figure it out. And like I said, I wasn't really planning on becoming, like I said, at an earlier age, so I didn't really study. But as the request, as the demand was there, I started a little bit learning a lot more of music, and he got introduced within the music industry. I even got introduced to more to secular music as well, just for musical educational purposes. Growing up, we didn't really listen to that type of music.
Sure.
And that influenced a lot. And so I learned a lot on YouTube, but also, and as far as Chazanut and Nusach, I learned from my brother and some other recordings from people. And that's basically, we continue to learn. Every person continues to learn every single day.
And then, it didn't end there. You were groundbreaking in that you're the first Hasidic artist to sign with a major label. So you really are a groundbreaker. And I'm just interested in what that process was like. But more importantly, what kind of conversations you would have had with the label about your faith and its boundaries. Were they open to those discussions? Did they respect those discussions? Fascinated by that.
Right, 100%. So that's a great question. And like I said, mentioned earlier, the reach of the songs that I put out right from the beginning was so unexpected. And at one point, it was a video of me doing Chad Gadya, the famous Chad Gadya from Moshe Osher. Mm-hmm. And at a bar mitzvah in Brooklyn. And then I get an email from someone saying that he's an executive at Universal Music Group, at Decca Gold, and he loves my music and loves the voice and is fascinated by it and would like to, you know, possibly have a meeting to potentially sign a record deal.
Yeah.
And at first I thought it was like not true or someone's doing a prank. Like, uh-huh. You know, I was a little kid starting, I was just get married. But I said, hey, why not? This doesn't hurt to respond. And responded, actually set up a meeting in Brooklyn, and it was very nice. Discussions continued for a while. But at one point I was like, look, I'm a Hasidic Jew first before anything else. So this is who I am. And they totally respected it. And we ended up doing a deal where, you know, I can technically, it was because it's uncharted territory. We weren't sure what the future would bring and how the challenges would come up. So I was able to say, to refuse of any engagement or any request that they would have based on my religious beliefs or whatever, personal reasons. So I did have many, many different opportunities to perform in different places or at different times. And, you know, ultimately didn't materialize for that reasons, but they were very supportive, and we ended up recording an album called The Perfect Dream, two original songs and a bunch of the classic covers, Broadway to just American classics. We were just about to start a tour, and that's when COVID hit, so COVID put a stop to that. But the momentum continued, and Baruch Hashem, I can't complain. I'm traveling the world. I haven't been to South Africa yet, although I've been very, very close a couple of times. It was actually planned to be in November in South Africa, but it didn't work out as of yet.
You would have a very, very receptive community waiting for you here. I know, I've done the groundwork and I've seen it. So put it back on the agenda. You know, I'm almost thinking, Shulam, it must almost be comical. There you walking into a room and you've got to lecture highfalutin executives at Universal about like explaining halakha. That must just be so difficult and challenging.
Yes.
You know, between the food and the fast days and the Shabbat, it's wow. I wonder if they knew what they were getting into.
The interesting thing is that a lot, and I would say a big percentage of the people in the executives are actually Jewish. And the person that reached out to me was also Jewish.
Okay,
so
that
makes sense. He understood it. He knew it. And obviously, when it comes to, you know, Orthodox Judaism, especially in the Hasidic thing with limitations. But it was all beautiful and open conversations. And the producer that actually produced the album was also a Jewish person from London. And together we actually did some research on his genealogy, and we discovered some related roots. So it was a beautiful experience.
They often say that music is called a universal language. I've heard you sing in English, Hebrew, Yiddish, and even French. I think in New Day Will Rise, you even do a little French. But we're going to play out with that, by the way, today. I'm just letting you know. Do you see yourself as having a role in creating dialogue across cultures?
100%. I think every person in general,
yeah,
you know, represents something broader and bigger than themselves whenever they're in public, or even not in public. For some people, you're a human being. Some people, you're a South African. Some people, you're a Jew. Some people, you're American. Some people, you're a Hasidic Jew. Some people, you're a Belz Hasidic Jew. You're always representing someone, you know, a person of God or a person. So 100%, everyone has that responsibility to try to act in the best possible way. But in this case, where music has such a broad reach, and like you said, Hasidic people are not necessarily always intertwined and together in the society of a lot of other communities. So it is a beautiful opportunity for me to show everyone that, you know, we're all the same. We all have the same ambition, same dreams, and we all love the same thing.
Can I tell you what just moved me so much? And this is really a personal anecdote. I've watched a lot of your videos after the past few days, just trying to get a handle on the music it is that you sing and what it is that you do. And in one of the songs, I think it was New Day Will Rise, I'm not sure, but you are wearing the hostage, what do you call it?
The pin.
The yellow pin. And maybe because you wear black, it stood out so much more forcefully than it would had you been wearing normal secular type clothing. And I just thought, I don't think that's something that you're going to see every day. I don't think you're going to see a super religious Jew wearing a hostage pin. And it was such a beautiful moment because it just meant Am Echad. We all believe in the same things and we all want the same things. And really, I wasn't expecting that.
100%. Yeah, I think it was in the song of October Rain, which I specifically made for the hostages, and we're still wet from this October rain, and we want the new day to arise, definitely. So, I mean, we all want the hostages to be home. We all want the entire Am Yisrael to be safe. We want everyone to be home with their families, and there's no question. So some people, you know, feel their obligation and their duties to wear it in pins or stickers with the number of days, or saying Tehillim and learning extra. And, you know, everyone has their duty and their obligation, whatever they feel can make this end bring them all home.
Your music speaks to hope and faith and the human condition. They're such generalized concepts which we can all relate to. But how do you choose which songs to cover and what message you want to convey through them?
That's a very good question. Ultimately, I think it all depends on whatever speaks to me, whatever speaks to my heart. Because music is an expression of emotion. And if you don't feel it, then it's just, it won't be received. And it's just another karaoke or just another something. So you have to understand and believe the words that you're saying. The same as with tefillah, when you daven as a chazan, you have to understand the words and you have to be able to express it and make it your own. So just yesterday I actually released a song, my first original song in Hebrew, which is the story of Yasala Kamtan Kadosh, which is Yasala the Holy Miser, if you're familiar with the story.
I saw it on YouTube. It is magnificent.
It's beautiful. So that story touched me so much. So for your listeners, I'll say the story very quickly, if you don't mind. There's a very wealthy person in the city of Krakow, and everyone asked him for tzedakah and for money, but he never wanted to give anything. So they despised him, and they put out, you know, things against him. And then when he finally died, they didn't want to bury him in the cemetery. But all of a sudden, after a while, after he passed away, people realized that the money that they were secretly getting was actually the money from him. So he gave, he actually funded most of the town very secretly without knowing. And it's just a message for all of us to, first of all, not to judge others. We don't know what other people do. But also, you know, sometimes to give without any recognition. It's something we just give for the sake of giving. And on a deeper level, a fan just reached out and said how amazing this message of the song is, because Hashem, sometimes it feels like is hiding and we don't see the good that he does, but ultimately really is it's all good. And so that was that message spoke to me, and that's why I recorded that song. And same with all the other ones.
Shalom, I don't know how to thank you for your time. We are out of time. I could have done an hour with you easily, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for talking to us here in South Africa about your music and what inspires it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on the program. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to meeting you one day and performing there in South Africa, hopefully very, very soon.